Stanford University honors grad who's also earned an MBA in finance from Columbia, Beatrice Williams lives in Connecticut with her husband and children. To quote Beatrice, she now splits her time between writing and laundry. Beatrice began her professional career as a corporate and communication strategy consultant. Last year, we spoke with her about her bestseller, The Secret Life of Violet Grant. Today, she's stopping by to fill us in on her new title, Tiny Little Thing. Beatrice, welcome back to the Book Report.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be back.
Introduce us to Christina, or Tiny Schuyler.
Well, Tiny Schuyler is one of the sisters introduced in my last book, The Secret Life of Violet Grant. In Violet Grant, we had a young woman who, in Vivian Schuyler, the youngest sister, who was this very feisty young woman running around Manhattan in the 1960s. But her older sister, Tiny, who doesn't actually appear in the book, is referred to by Vivian as this sort of little Miss Perfect who had just married into an influential Boston family. And Vivian really dismisses her. But as soon as I wrote that paragraph about Tiny, I knew that she was hiding a big secret and that the next book would be about her. So here she is, and she's now 2 years into her marriage, into this influential Boston family with political aspirations, and she's realizing that her picture-perfect life isn't quite so wonderful as she once dreamed. And someone from her past has just come back into her life. And 2 years earlier, she had fallen in love with this man right before her marriage to Frank Hardcastle. And now he's back, and she's got some big decisions to make.
Right. Well, Tiny is a Hardcastle, and it's a family that's surrounded by wealth, privilege, big, boisterous family. It doesn't take much of a leap to compare the fictional Hardcastles with the Kennedys. Will you talk about that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had sort of set this up before I wrote the book, that Tiny was this sort of outwardly perfect young woman who had married into this political family in Boston. And I sort of did that in The Secret Life of Violet Grant, just sort of like, oh, this is where I'm just going to place her. And I didn't really think much about it. So when I came down to writing Tiny Little Thing, and of course at this point Violet Grant was in galleys, I couldn't much change the situation I'd thrown her into. So I got to thinking a little bit about it, and I wasn't. I was using the Kennedys a little bit as a starting point because I was thinking about the 1960s and what had changed about politics in the 60s. And Tiny Little Thing starts out around a television set in 1966. And President Johnson's on the screen, and he's conferring a Medal of Honor upon a soldier who has just returned from Vietnam. And in fact, this is Frank Hardcastle's cousin, Caspian, who happens to be the young man with whom Tiny fell in love with 2 years earlier. Mm. And I did that deliberately, this television, because what happened in politics in the 60s was the intrusion of this visual image, you know, into everybody's living rooms, and all of a sudden politicians went from being people who were very remote from ordinary life into somebody who was living and breathing inside your living room. And at the same time, in 1960, you had this young, glamorous, charismatic couple coming into the White House, and politics just changed in that moment from being something remote, something that was about, you know, running the country, into something that was about image, that was about how you appeared to others through this new medium, and really came to life as a real person, but in fact not a real person, because of course it's the image that you're seeing and not the real person. So I took that idea of the Kennedys as a starting point because I wanted people to think a little bit about, you know, the implications of that in our political life. But of course, you know, once I get started, the characters took on there. I deliberately did not go off and study the Kennedys before I wrote this book because I wanted it to be about these fictional people that I was creating in this, you know, in this world that, you know, the Kennedys had this great, you know, impact in creating for us. So I used that as a starting point, but once I had that starting point, they kind of went off in their own direction and had their own lives. Although, interestingly, after I did write the book and I kind of came back and I found this biography of Jackie Kennedy actually in the bedroom of a house we were renting last summer. And I found these similarities, and I think that's just because that you put a certain kind of person in a certain kind of situation, you know, that there's stresses that get, you know, relieved in certain ways. And also, you know, this family that she's married into, and, you know, that this lust for power and what they will do. I found one incident that happens near to the end of the book that it turns out a very similar thing, you know, had actually happened to Jackie Kennedy. And I hadn't, you know, I hadn't even known about that when I sat down to write the book. So it was interesting how, you know, how real life and fictional life kind of converged there without my even planning it.
We're speaking with Beatrice Williams on The Book Report.
You know, you mentioned television, and with the wild popularity of Mad Men, how much fun was it to set a book in the 1960s?
Oh, it was huge fun. And interestingly, you know, we don't actually have a television in our house. People say, oh, Mad Men, but in fact, I've never really seen Mad Men. We're not anti-TV. It just, the TV broke, and suddenly the kids' reading scores went through the roof, so we just ended up not getting a new TV, and it's worked great for us. I can always watch Downton Abbey on my iPad if I need to. So I'm somebody, when I think of historical fiction, and historical fiction is where I like to be, it's my comfort zone as a writer, but I ended up in the 1960s because of the structure of The Secret Life of Violet Grant, which went back and forth between a mystery that occurred in 1914 and somebody trying to track down what happened to these people in 1964. But all of a sudden, I was realizing how many parallels the 60s had to the area where I tend to operate, which is, you know, the early decades of the 20th century. And again, in the 20s and the 30s, you had all this social change, and there was really a sexual revolution taking place in the 20s, and people's behavior was changing, social norms were changing, and of course, the 1960s, you once again, there's this tidal wave of change that takes over the culture. So I found so many similarities, and it was just huge fun, again, to explore that and to see how this wonderful friction that's created when, you know, change rubs up against, you know, the traditions of the past.
You know, Christina's mom is a very strong and independent woman. She dances to her own tune. Yet it seems to me she sets Tiny up as a sacrificial lamb to the Hardcastles. Do any of your readers see a disconnect there?
It's interesting. I first introduced Mrs. Schuyler in The Secret Life of Violet Grant, and she started out being this sort of, you know, very careless mother in the sense that she really left the raising of her children to, you know, the professionals, the nannies and cooks and drivers. You know, I sort of started her out as just your classic New York Fifth Avenue society woman. But as often happens when you start getting to know a character, they reveal a lot of hidden depths. And by the end of Violet Grant, she was showing a lot of redemptive qualities, Mrs. Schuyler. So, you know, really, you know, she turned out to be much more complex than I originally envisioned. And she's certainly somebody who, you know, within the confines of her time and her class and her sex, wanted power. And the currency of power for a woman in that time was to be married to a powerful man and to have the social connections and to build your own social connections within that network. So for her, you know, the best way to make her child happy was to make sure that she made the best possible marriage. And Tiny is the most acquiescent of the three Schuyler sisters. And so Tiny's kind of the one on whom she focuses all this energy. Of course, you know, the times change and Mrs. Schuyler changes. And I think she realizes how unhappy her daughter is. And does she make the right change? So I bring Mrs. Schuyler in at the end. You know, as we kind of head towards resolving this impossible situation in which Tiny finds herself, where she's being blackmailed for past behavior, and Mrs. Schuyler, you know, comes in, and you know, I believe so much in, and to me, it's such a powerful theme, this issue of redemption, and how do you change the mistakes that you've made in the past?
You know, the third sister figures very prominently in this book, Pepper. Is she going to get her own book?
She absolutely is. You know, I really had so much fun writing about these girls, and it's really about, you know, even though certainly in this book and in the previous book, it's not, you know, the sisterly relationship isn't the focus of the book, but it's a very important thread hanging everything together, and three very different young women and how they lead their lives and how ultimately, even though, you know, they may have their private rivalries and sort of detest each other's habits, they kind of come together as a force against outsiders. And, of course, Pepper, you know, she's such a vibrant character. You know, I had to put the vibrant sister in next to Tiny, who's a quieter and more introspective person. And I kind of created this subplot for Pepper. She's the kind of character who demands her own story. There's a little bit of a thread then left dangling at the end involving a mysterious black Mercedes Roadster from 1936 that has appeared in this Cape Cod vacation home where the most of the action takes place. And then Pepper takes charge of that story in my next book, Along the Infinite Sea, which examines Pepper's story against the 1930s and how this car ended up in the shed on Cape Cod.
Oh, wow. When can we expect that book?
That will be out at the beginning of November. I think November 4th is the release date, or maybe it's November 3rd. Anyway, it's that first week of November, Along the Infinite Sea.
All right. Well, we'll certainly look forward to that. Beatrice, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was a great pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Alrighty, bye.